Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And in response to what I was just talking about, this whole... It's an ocean of wokeness. Like, you can't escape it. And it's dishonest. It's not truthful. Yes, we're dealing with it on the level I was just talking about, but it's in corporate America. It's certainly in politics. And here to discuss is Kelsey Bowler. She is a senior strategist with the Independent Women's Forum. She's also a reporter for the Daily Signal, and you know her from Kevin McCullough Radio every week as well. You also see her on the Fox News and Fox Business channels. Kelsey, always good to have you on Thursdays. Thank you for making our part of the world a little bit brighter from bringing your smile and sunshine our way. But this woke stuff is really, we had a friend over at the house last night that was here till 11:30 last night, just bemoaning the impact that this entire woke mindset is having on everything from our families to our schools, to our churches, to our governments, to our businesses. We can't escape it, Kelsey Bowler.
You're right. It's a very difficult situation to be in as a conservative, because if you want to escape it, you basically have to boycott all forms, all institutions of American life, which is pretty close to impossible. We saw just this week hundreds of major companies and corporate leaders sign on to a statement that was released Wednesday and published in the Washington Post, the New York Times, among others, stating that they oppose laws that supposedly restrict writing votes. Companies that signed on, of course, include Target, Netflix, Bank of America, Facebook, Cisco, Twitter, Microsoft, Starbucks, Amazon, MasterCard, American Airlines, all the airlines, basically, although I believe Delta is the exception there. Perhaps they learned their lesson.
With the Georgia law, yeah.
Exactly. And then, Michael Bloomberg, Warren Buffett, those types of figures. And what really frustrates me about this is these companies and corporate leaders made no mention of the specific provisions they claim are restricting voting rights. They, of course, are unwilling to engage in any sort of public debate about this, and yet they're willing to use their massive platforms to make a political statement. You know, if somebody wants to talk politics, you know, you and I are in this business because we are here for the conversation. We are here for the debate. But all these woke corporations want to do is lecture us and then shut down debate. They will be silent after this because they think they have done their jobs. And, you know, of course, among the policies that it's safe to assume they oppose is requiring IDs to vote. The statement that they issued was issued under the banner "We Stand for Democracy." But I would really question, you know, is the quest to protect the integrity of our elections by, you know, asking that voters prove their identity, is that anything but taking a stand for democracy? Of course, we'll never hear the answer from any of them to that question. But I think they should be oppressed, and I think they should be exposed for the types of policies that they are now supporting.
Kelsey, just narrow down on that one issue for just a second, because when we are talking about and I think that people that embrace woke positions would say, well, it's all about fairness. We're all trying to be, you know, trying to create a more fair world. But that's in talking points only, because if you ever are able to engage them beyond the soundbite, then you can argue from a very simple and logical and kind of a dispassionate kind of way that the law and fairness shouldn't have anything to do with feelings. It shouldn't have anything to do with the emotions I feel about, a certain incident or anything else. That if we're going to actually be objective and fair, that we're going to treat all people equally at all times. And that's not what the woke universe wants. They don't want fair treatment of all people at all times. They actually embrace preferential treatment for groups based on whatever their intersectional qualities are that they can say we've been oppressed by or whatever else. But it has nothing to do with equality, and it has nothing to do with fairness.
You're absolutely right. And we're seeing this seep in through critical race theory and intersectional politics into every institution, as we discussed earlier, to the point where it is unavoidable. And these corporate leaders, you have to question whether they really know the types of policies that they're supporting, whether they actually really support them, or whether they're doing this because they want to virtue signal to everybody else and basically avoid that small minority of vocal Twitter woke activists who will make an issue of Taylor Swift not commenting on the latest political controversy,
right.
just to give you an example. So it's a difficult time, but I think that you're going to see a shift in Republican politics. We've already began to see this, where Republicans are not bowing to corporate pressure anymore. We're going to see this reflected in policy, and you know it's about time that we as conservatives stand up to this type of corruption from the almighty corporate powers that think they can control all aspects of American
life.
Well,
I want to touch on that too, because isn't the definition of fascism basically when the private sector, the heads of corporations and governments conspire together to more or less oppress all viewpoints except the stated party line? I mean, isn't that kind of functionally how fascism works? When you know, all the private sector and all the government sector come together to oppress the individual.
Right. And it's interesting. They think they're, fighting for some a minority of Americans when they put out these type of woke statements, when in reality, you know, conservatives are now the political and cultural minorities in this country. We are the ones without much power other than our voices, which they try to censor on social media. And so to sort of pretend that they are fighting, you know, for any types of oppressed, minorities is just false.
Yeah. I could not understand, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Tim Keller, but he's a well-known clergyman from the New York area. He went on Twitter this week kind of bashing this purity culture that sprang up from that book, How I Kissed Dating Goodbye, or whatever it was, a few years ago. And there were problems with it. I can't say that I embrace the idea that, you know, you're not going to be able to hold hands or kiss somebody before you marry them. But instead of going after something like why we have anatomical males in our daughters' showers in the high school locker rooms in America now, he chose to pick a fight with that group. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me, unless you're understanding that everything in the culture now has to be woke. So the transgender plight in your daughter's high school shower is not worth speaking up about. But making sure kids don't get sexually adventurous before marriage, somehow that's the bad thing now. It's just up is down, down is up. Everything's backwards, Kelsey, and it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, always appreciate it. If you're not subscribed to the Bright email, you need to get that. GetBrightEmail.com and subscribe. Kelsey edits the Thursday edition. Kelsey, always appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, when we come back, we've got a lot more breaking news. Don't go anywhere.